Welcome to Money Matters Podcast here. Wes Moss, your host, with David Bach, talking about, we just did a wonderful interview about Smart Women Finish Rich. You know David, though, through financial media. He's been on the Today Show over 100 times, sold 7 million copies of various books. Smart Women Finish Rich just relaunched, 20th anniversary. Automatic Millionaire, a book that I read 15-some years ago on my honeymoon. It's been on my desk that I meet with couples, probably 1,000 meetings, and for over a decade, David. I want to talk about the Automatic Millionaire for a minute, and the inspiration of that. Maybe you can tell the McIntyre story of what got you going with this, just such an important book for so many folks. If you haven't read it, it's a quick read. Tell us the inspiration of that book.
Yeah, well, so Automatic Millionaire is based on a true story. What happened to me is I was in my 20s, and I was a financial advisor. I was doing really well financially. And I used to teach these retirement classes. And this couple came up to me in the fourth week of a class and said, David, we want to retire. And it was like a Tuesday. And I said, great, when do you want to retire? And they said, well, Friday. Can we come meet with you tomorrow? Something to that effect. And I was like, but they had told me in the class that they were 52. And they'd also told me in the class that that year their income had been like $50,000, a little bit over $50,000.
So really young, not a ton of income.
So really young and not a ton of income. And they didn't look like they could possibly retire. They didn't look rich. And this is the classic thing, like being young and dumb.
And this is before the FIRE, financial independence, right, retire early movement.
So they come into my office. I think it's going to be this horrible meeting. They bring a brown Safeway paper bag of stuff, which turns out to be all their documents. They report out on the table in front of us. And I go, you know, what makes you think you can afford to retire? Did you inherit any money? And they both laughed. And they said, no, of course not. And they said, well, let me show you what we have. And they start showing me what they have. And as I total up what they have between their 401k plan, and they had paid their home off, and they had owned a rental property and paid that off, their net worth was nearly $2 million. And the wife actually didn't want to retire. He wanted to retire. She wanted to keep working. And the reality was they could retire early. They were the FIRE movement before the FIRE movement.
Yeah.
And they had done everything right. They lived in San Leandro, California. And I was so blown away by what they had accomplished with an income that was half of mine, where I was living paycheck to paycheck, but I was driving, you know, he had a Timex watch on, I had a Rolex watch on. They probably came in a beat up old used car, I was driving a leased Jaguar. And I was renting and they owned their homes free and clear. And so meeting this couple, I was like, wait a minute, what? How did you do this? And so they came to interview me for a retirement plan. I ended up interviewing them, saying, you got to seriously walk
me. You turned it around.
Me through this. I took out a yellow pad of paper. They laughed. They said, okay, well, David, we did pretty much everything you talked about in your class, except they started telling me what they didn't do. They didn't do a budget, and they explained why. They talked about how budgeting led them to fight, how they almost got divorced over a budget. They talked about how they made everything automatic. They made saving for their home automatic, how they paid their debt down early, why they paid their mortgage off early, why they didn't buy a bigger home when they got that home paid off. They talked about how they saved automatically for, you know, it was at the time almost 30 years because they started working in their early 20s. They just did all these things that were so basic but so easy to do, but they just, I wasn't doing them.
Easy to set up, difficult. A lot of Americans still don't do this.
So I went home. I went back to my office totally depressed. And and I left the office. I actually left the office early. I drove home and went back to my apartment in San Francisco, living in the Marina. I took out my journal and I've always been a journaler. I just started journaling about why I was upset and what I was going to do about it. I'm like, I'm upset because these people are free. They're in their early 50s and they make half what I make. And they got to freedom. And at the rate I'm going...
And you were you're still in your 20s,
I'm in my 20s.
Right?
I'm like, at the rate I'm going, no matter how much money I make, I'm never going to be free because I keep managing to make more money and spend more money. I've got to change my life and be like the McIntyres. That led me to go back to my office the next day and change everything I was doing. Sign up for my 401k plan, but max it out. Now, I did it over time, but basically I put in place the exact same plan. That plan got me to financial freedom. And what I realized was the simple nuggets of what the McIntyres did was really what people needed to know. Like Smart Women Finish Rich, detailed financial planning book, everything I do for my clients. Smart Couples, detailed financial planning book. But people kept saying to me, David, what's the one thing I need to do? And the one thing I realized that the McIntyres did that everyone needs to do is they automated their financial life. The reason the book was called The Automatic Millionaire was because they automated everything. They made all the money movement automatic. Now, That was hard 25 some odd years ago.
It really was.
It so was.
Today, there's no excuse
today,
not to do it.
Today, you take your phone out, and in 5 minutes, you can automate your financial life. Back then, even when you came to my office, we had 6 pages of documents to fill out for a systematic investment plan. What a horrible name that was. To just put money automatically in a mutual fund, you had to have like this doctor's term, systematic investment plan. Nobody wanted to. Just the name scared people off.
Right.
And then the paperwork was 6 pages long. You had to sign 6 pages. Today, you open up your phone, you download an app, you'll click, 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 and you can be tracking where your money goes automatically and saving where your money goes automatically. In fact, Automatic Millionaire, we just updated the book. It's in all stores. It sold 1.5 million copies. And now the new book has got all the latest technologies and apps in it.
Yeah.
That's,
okay.
Becoming an automatic millionaire is easier today than it's actually ever been. You can save change now. Like, I'm an investor in a company called Acorns.
Acorns
has opened up 4 million accounts, which is, you know, I talk about the latte factor, you know, spending small amounts of money on little things. And Acorns basically helps you track, you know, take these small amounts of money, invest it automatically in a robo portfolio of ETFs at a super low cost, like $1 a month.
Yeah.
And that's attracting lots of young people, but also now some older people.
But at least it gets people going. And you're right. There today, it's easier to do than ever. Dividend reinvest programs, you can do them anywhere now. You don't have to just go to computer shares. You mentioned lattes. Do you think so you're the godfather of that phrase, the latte factor. Do you think you have hurt the latte business, or do you think you've actually sold more lattes because you came up with that?
You know, it's so funny because I haven't hurt the latte business at all, right? Like the
Starbucks stock, you know, since you came up with that, has done great.
The biggest mistake I ever made was not buying Starbucks stock the day I started talking about the latte factor, because all that company has done is grown. Like millions and millions and millions and millions of people go out every single day, and they don't just go to Starbucks anymore. Like, I mean,
Dunkin' Donuts
just rebranded themselves. They're no longer Dunkin' Donuts. You know why? Because they're now a coffee shop.
Right.
So, and which is smart, by the way, because why would you go to Starbucks when you go to Dunkin' Donuts and get better coffee for half the price? And I'm not even a Dunkin' Donuts spokesperson, but I'll just say that. Like, so the coffee business is bigger than it's ever been. It's global. It's funny that you asked me this question, because my next book, which is finished right now, I'll show you the cover later, it's The Latte Factor.
Oh, really?
And
that's going to be
that's the
title.
Next book. It's coming out.
Wow.
I'll tell you right now, you guys, the first audience
to hear this. This is cool.
May 7th, 2019.
Wow.
The Latte Factor is a parable. It is a book I've wanted to do for 14 years. It is going to be, my dream is going to be the Who Moved My Cheese of Money. And it will translate all over the world. And I hope it will be the first book that I don't get into like 10 languages, but I'm hoping we'll get into 20, 30, 40, 50 languages. But it's a little story. You can read it in like 45 minutes.
So the latte factor, and I just wrote an article about it. And there's a phrase of a multimillionaire that said, not buying avocado toast won't make you.
I just did a video on this guy
on
CNBC, because I said, avocado toast, first of all, that's just flat out ridiculous. The guy stole my idea, but nobody's not saving money because of avocado toast. But the point has never been about coffee or avocado toast,
right?
Or even cigarettes or bottled water. What it is about thinking about where your money goes.
Yeah.
And look, let's be honest. If you want to get up, you got to give something up. You got to give up something small to get up to somewhere big. So, you know, for some people, it could be coffee, but it could be a lot of other things, right? And it's about, look, if you're going to trade your life for money, which is basically what, let's be honest, we all do to a certain extent.
We all do that to a certain extent.
You're going to, average person listening is going to work 90,000 hours or more during their lifetime. And they will not save, in some cases, 1,000 hours of their income. So stop for that and take that in for a moment, right? Because what you need, if you work 90,000 hours, you actually need to be keeping 10% of the hours you work. So I teach people you need to save 1 hour a day of your income.
1 out of 8 to 10 hours.
So you're going to work from 9 to 5. From 9 to 10, you have to keep the first hour a day of your income.
For you.
For you. You got to pay yourself first for you. The latte factor was designed to make people realize you're richer than you think, you have more money than you realize, and yes, small amounts of money, the miracle of compound interest, can change your life. $5 a day invested over decades, and I give the example in The Automatic Millionaire, I'm going to do this from memory, but like at 10% in 40 years, you're like $948,000. And, you know, people go, oh, but in 40 years, it won't be worth anything. It's worth a whole lot more than zero, which is what you're going to have if you don't save. Well, I can't earn 10%. Well, great. Then earn five or six or seven.
Yeah.
You can run whatever number you want. The point is this: if you don't save anything, you're not going to have anything.
Before we go, we'll wrap with the future of investment advice. I mean, I'm a big believer in kind of an all of the above approach. The robo movement that was set to take over Wall Street 7, 8 years ago, and financial advisors were worried that they were going to put them out of business. I looked at that as just another way to get more people to save. Acorn is another version of that. Then there's still traditional investment advice that is this kind of humans interconnecting, because money is so emotional. And it's, even though it's simple, it's difficult to get all the pieces correct and stay disciplined. I mean, where are you on the future? You know this industry better than anybody. Where are you on the future of investment advice?
Well, first of all, technology is just a tool, right? So like the idea that the robo-advisors were going to put financial advisors and the investment companies out of business was just always silly, right? Like, first of all, the large financial service companies just turn around and buy these companies.
Right.
Because most of these companies aren't even profitable. So they turn around and they go, okay, finally these guys figured out the technology. We couldn't figure it out. We'll just buy them. Then they integrate the technology, right? So basically everybody eventually has the same technology. When you go back to what does it mean to you and I at home, at the end of the day, when you get older, your financial life becomes more complicated. Period. By the time you get to be in your 50s and your 60s especially, you have money everywhere. You've got 401k plans, IRA accounts, pension plans. You have decisions to make about Social Security. You have decisions to make about healthcare, Medicaid. You might be in a second marriage. You've got decisions to make about all these issues and your children and who's going to inherit the money and what happens if you die. And are you going to let your wife be in charge of all the money if you die? Are you going to want some of the money to go to your children? These are not things that computers can do yet. So people who have wealth over a certain level, and I use the example of $100,000 or more, that's when people turn to financial advisors. Up until that point, probably you're going to use a robo-advisor and do it online. But when it's time to sit down with somebody and make real decisions about big things.
Emotional decisions.
Emotional decisions. Yeah. Like retirement's a huge decision, right? And most people only retire once. Now, that may change, because I think as time goes on, people are going
to
work, retire, get a
go
new skill, go
yeah.
back to work, yeah. retire again. Like, I retired at 46 and took an 18-month break and then went back to work.
Went back.
Because I was just energized and ready to do something again. So I think that the need for financial planning today is actually bigger than it's ever been. We have 10,000 baby boomers turning 65 every single day. And I see the industry growing, not shrinking.
David Bock, again, thank you so much for being part of the podcast. Thank you for joining me on the radio as well. It's just been a real pleasure. If you want to find David Bock, go to davidbock.com. That's David Bock is spelled B-A-C-H. davidbock.com to find Smart Women Finish Rich, The Automatic Millionaire, and a whole list of other really phenomenal books that have changed the lives of really millions of people. David, thank you so much for talking with us. And then I can't wait for the Latte Factor to come out, man.
Hey, you know what? We'll do a thing on it.
We'll do a thing on it. But that's in 2019.
Yeah.
So we got a ways to go. All right. Well, I'll see you in 2019. Thanks so much. Thank you for tuning in to Money Matters. You know where to find me and the Money Matters team. Go to wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. We're happy to talk with you throughout the week, answer your questions as they get complicated, as they get more particular to just you and your family. We're happy to help you through that, whether it's IRA related, 401k, Social Security, you name it. Thank you for tuning in. Have a wonderful, profitable rest of your day.